It's shortly after 6 o'clock, so why don't we go ahead and get started. Call the meeting to order at 6:02. And, oh, there he is now. Would you please call the roll for me?
Committee member Becott?
Here.
Grusy?
Here.
Cromer? Gillen? Hobson?
Here.
Rivera?
Here.
Roberts?
Here.
Slee?
Here.
Strong? Vice Chair Volin?
Here.
Chair Stuckey?
Here. Thank you. Do we have any public comments online or anything? No?
No.
Action items. First item, approval of minutes of the meeting of July 14th. Assuming everyone has diligently read them in detail. Are there any?
Motion to approve.
Amendments?
Second.
Grusy.
And second by Roberts. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Moving along, we have a proposal from the police department to amend Measure A Public Safety Expenditure Plan on 2 community service officers and 20 hourly community service officers. And also to fund the supplies and services necessary for positions funded by Measure A. I'm assuming that's going to be your presentation, Captain Volin?
It is, sure.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. So, good evening, everyone. Hopefully, you got an opportunity to get a glance through the information. There was an updated version of the staff report that was posted online in the Brown Act requirements last night. And then emailed out, unfortunately our email system is broken out. So I got emailed out early this month. And a huge thank you, Secretary, for that. As you mentioned, the proposal and the request is sort of, I break it down into 3 parts. One is to request to add 2 full-time equivalent community service officers to aid and assist our uniform patrol staff out in the field. To, in addition, to add 20 positions of community service officers that are all part-time employees. And I'll explain why we are asking for that as well. Just so you know, even though it's 20 positions, it's actually, it's not 20 full-time positions, it's 20 part-time positions. And so, in a fiscal terms, we oftentimes like to think full-time positions, FTEs is what we call it, full-time equivalents. So to be more specific, those 20 part-time hourly community service officers equate to 9.52 full-time equivalents. And so that's just a fiscal thing. We like to hire 20 part-time. And then lastly, the third leg of this three-legged stool has to do with equipment and supplies that are Measure A personnel use, and amending the budget to correct for some equipment and supplies that was not originally accounted for in prior requests. So, to go over one, by the way, I forgot to introduce myself. I'm very sorry for maybe one person in the room that doesn't know who I am, but also for the record, my name is Captain Phil Collin. That's why I'm bringing this forward to you. So, I'm going to start with the 2 full-time community service officers. So, over the course of the last couple of years, we've added a number of positions through Measure A. It's been some great benefit to our community, but we are also recognizing that the amount of calls for service, the level of demand in the community is, seems to continue to grow and expand. And one of the measurement tools we have for measuring how good of a service we're providing to our community, just one tool, is how long a community member has to wait when they call for service. Do they have to wait if it's an emergency call? How long do they have to wait? What if it's not quite an emergency call? What if it's no emergency at all and they just they have their car broken into overnight and they need a report for insurance purposes? They were involved in a traffic collision 3 days ago and they need a report for insurance purposes. done for calls. And we have been tracking our response times to those calls, as well as the numbers of those calls, for quite some time. So in the staff report, it makes reference to those responses. And over the course of the last several couple of years, it is taking us longer and longer to get to those types of calls. So if you are a member of the community, you call the police department because, again, like I said, for example, you need a report for something that's not an emergency, you just need a report. On average, it takes us, you know, around 24 hours before somebody might get to that call and actually be there, either on the phone or in person, to actually take that call. Now, if you're a member of the community and you don't know anything about emergency operations or about government operations or police service, and you call the police and say, I need a police officer to take this report, and the dispatch says, okay, I got all the information, we'll be there as soon as we can. Most people tend to think that we're going to be there maybe in 30 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe an hour. Most people don't expect to wait a whole day or longer, even 10 hours. And as you can imagine, as a member of the community, especially when you have perhaps a job you need to attend to, you've got kids, you've got school, you've got family issues, personal issues, that can be a big thing. So our community service officers have long played a huge role in just that. As you can imagine, the other thing about those types of calls is that it doesn't necessarily require a fully trained police officer, who's very expensive and carries a gun, to come out and take a police report. We can train other personnel to do that job as effectively, sometimes more effectively, that aren't full-time police officers that are out there for emergency and safety purposes. So the community service officers in our program have long played that role. We have traditionally had about five in our patrol division to do that. They take a lot of that burden of those calls for service that without them and otherwise be dispatched to full-time officers, gun-toting officers, if you will. And instead, they can take that burden on themselves, freeing up the officers for more pressing or more emergency circumstances. Or also, by the way, freeing up officers to be very proactive, that is getting out there and trying to stop crime before it actually happens, right? Before we happen to get a call. So that's the role of CSS play. But as we watched those call for service numbers and those, you know, those response times numbers, especially as it relates to the type of calls that CSS is going to get, which are the priority four and priority five calls, because they're going to be important generally, we see a great need to enhance our capability to respond to those non-emergency, not necessarily less safety concern, less requirement for a peace officer who has arrest powers and a gun. So that's just a small piece of it. Now, the nuances, I don't want to bore you with all the nuances of police organization. There's a whole lot of other things going on besides that. Our police officers, because of complexities of new legislation and requirements, we find that our police officers spend just simply more and more time on every call. There's more things that they're required to do. They carry a lot more equipment that they're required to deal with. In addition to that, it's no secret if we continue to struggle with filling vacancies in the police department for all positions, including our sworn positions. Right now, I think we're 31 vacancies for sworn positions. And that's a lot when we're probably less than 300 people. It's fairly significant percentage. By the way, this department is unusual. That trend is all over the country. It's been in the news lots of times lately. There's a lot of potential reasons why that's going on, dealing with society and dealing with COVID. So the fewer officers that we have, the more the problem that I've talked about gets further compounded, which then puts more stress on the officers. It's not just officers, by the way, other personnel in the organization as well. We're short all over the place. More stress on the personnel, which actually can result in more use of sick leave and lead time, which reduces staff capacity more, and it just becomes this endless cycle. So we'd like to increase our CSOs in the control division for sure by adding two community service officers to further supplement and enhance that, also providing some relief to the sworn officer capacity out the field and better responses to our members of the community. The second leg of this three-leg stool is the 20 part-time community service officer. So I mentioned I focused primarily in our full division as the folks responding to the call to service, our uniform, the hospital, and by now, four parts of the typical city. But that staffing challenge that we have in our sworn officer ranks is actually all from you. We have 20-something vacancies right now for professional staff, don't know the exact number, and we only have about a little over 100 professional staff. So that's a significant percentage of our professional staff. In addition, because we see that agencies all across the country are seeing more and more challenges, it's getting harder and harder to recruit and hire police officers, laboratory technicians, dispatchers, and all sorts of other records technicians, and all sorts of other jobs in public safety. We also want to expand our ability to recruit people, get them into the organization, start them off sort of on the right foot, and perhaps lead to a pathway that leads to a future full position. So one of our sergeants came up with, I think, a great, a novel and creative approach. We have long, as I said, used community service officers to provide these services, but the other thing that some of those kind of jobs do is they become kind of entry points into the public safety profession. In fact, I started my career 30 years ago as a community service officer. That was the first job I ever had in this role. I was actually a part-time community service officer. Why? Because I was in college at the time, I could work for a job, but I needed a job. And I fell into the job of being a community service officer. I fell in love with public safety, and I'm doing universities. So these positions do play a role in long-term sustainability and staffing capability of this organization. So hourly community service officers is a novel approach for us. We haven't had hourly community service officers before, but we recognize that there's a whole bunch of great people in college, people that are part of our police department cadet program that are potentially old enough to have a job now, that be a part-time job, and maybe in the future in law enforcement, in public safety, in some form of profession. There's all sorts of other individuals that perhaps already have a job, but need a little additional second job that might be a pathway to a long-term career in the police organization. And then the same staffing challenges that I said are affecting all of the department. With part-time employees, we can actually assign them beyond the patrol division and to assist in other areas. For example, one of the areas right now where we have significant staffing challenges is in the records division. So can we take a part-time position and help supplement our records division, which does a number of jobs, not just records, but it can also provide all the service center for them. And if a, for example, the member of the public comes to the front counter because they want to use a profile and come here to do it, we have to send a police officer or some other field employee from their beat in the field and send them all the way here to the station to take that report to the front counter. Or maybe we could assign a community service officer to the front counter, for example, and handle those reports right there. We've got currently got community service officers serving in our investigations committee, providing immense support to our detectives, as well as, honestly, handling investigative work themselves. We've got community service officers that have traditionally been assigned in our traffic safety unit, helping our parking enforcement, our traffic safety, and a number of roles. And there's a number of other potential roles that community service officers have. So when we blend the recruiting needs, the needs of a community, especially a community that might be interested in the parking position, with also the needs of the organization right now, we feel that having a group of hourly, part-time positions that we can hire people into, fill the immediate need for the organization, and also perhaps get some long-term, better, sustainable recruiting capabilities out of it. It's a win-win for the police department. In my perspective, that is also because they'll be providing services to our community, that's a win-win. So that is why the 20 may seem like a large number. In my opinion, these are part-time positions. It's equivalent to 9.52 full-time equivalents. And Why 20 to begin with? Well, again, these are part-time positions, so we think of staffing a bunch of, for example, college students, that was a number of them. They have different schedules, different class times, and yet we still need to be there at certain times of the day, so it allows us flexibility of scheduling times when they are needed by them. And then the last stool of the three-legged stool is about our supplies and services budget. So historically, the public safety expenditure plan already accounted for certain supplies and services necessary for several positions. Most notably, for example, our soldiers. So we have an American police officer, you know, we have to supply them with a badge, a police radio, a gun. You know, we have to train them. We go to training in the academy for months and months. They all those educational costs. And then there's ongoing costs. They carry police radios. Those are almost like cell phones. We get a monthly bill for every single radio that we have to pay. There's ongoing training costs. The vehicles have to get replaced every so often. Their equipment has to be replaced every so often. They get some smartphones these days, that requirement. So there's all these things that are included in the original plan. So every time we hire a police officer, are including the plan, we know we also need to buy X number of things, and that costs Y number of dollars. But there are several positions in the plan that we never made that account. For example, through Measure A, we've hired lab personnel. And lab personnel have a requirement to drive out to a crime scene in some type of vehicle to collect evidence and process that crime scene, or to take evidence to a different laboratory for example, DNA testing, things that our lab may not be able to do. And that's just one of many. So for all of these positions, we have factored in a better, close accounting for all of the supplies and services necessary, not just for the initial hiring of the positions, including, by the way, the 20 hourly positions we would like to hire and the two full-time positions, but also the ongoing cost of things like, say, radio fees, some training costs, and things like that. So the third leg is sort of basically just amending the budget, quite honestly, to correct for missing things that we need. I guess just do the best way that we can. And that is the overall request. Requesting adding those two full-time CSOs, those 20 positions for part-time CSOs, technically that's 9.52 full-time equivalents, and then amending the ongoing budget to correct for the supplies and services.
I just had a question. I know the 20 CSOs is equivalent to 9.52 full-time CSO positions or full-time police officer positions?
It's 9.52 positions. So if you just count the number of hours that a part-time employee, an hourly employee can work technically by law and by city regulations, regardless of how much they're paid or anything else, it just comes out to 9.52 full-time. Does that make sense? Because they go work about 19 hours a week. So if you did the math, it comes out to about 9.5. Did I say that right, man? I'm looking back at our...
So it's 990 hours based upon our policy, so these employees can't work over that and still be paid as part-time employees and have full-time benefits.
There's some regulations that if they go over a certain amount, it triggers a whole bunch of other things, and they almost cease to become our employees anymore. And they almost have full-time employees anymore. And so we have to stay over that.
Kevin, how long do you think to onboard the 20?
So we've actually already got, I think, five in backgrounds right now, because we had a number of police cadets that were looking for an hourly job. Remember I talked about kids in college? That's exactly the circumstance. We're looking for more. We're actually outreaching to a bunch of our staff. We just approved the first hire, hoping that all this gets through okay. We actually would like to take this to council next week, if I remember correctly. So we're moving on quickly. So the total plan, though, is 20. I couldn't even venture to make a guess. As we start spinning up recruiting, it's our hope that we're going to a lot of colleges. I honestly think that's a great spot for what we're looking for. But as well, working with cadet programs and other police agencies, perhaps, fire explorers in the plan.
Easy, yeah. Sir.
But
I think Walter's a CSO.
I endorse that.
We should have to sleep when I'm doing it, though.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. But as well, there's been perhaps some synergy here, right?
Yeah.
You get five kids in here, that's not right, five hourly CSOs in here, and then they're talking to their friends who also have a job. And wow, that sounds interesting. I'd like this. Right? And so maybe we'll get some synergy. But I can't actually estimate it.
The skeptic in markers, granted you've got five in the process coming on board. Given the difficulty of filling regular police officer positions, why should someone take a part-time position with no guarantee of hours and no benefits? I mean, what's the sales pitch for?
Yeah.
The possibility they might someday become a full-time police officer.
Well, that's certainly part of it. That's our bit. Mm-hmm. But there's other things. Well, if I was a kid in college, I needed a part-time job. I fell into this work, but there's a lot of folks that are actually interested in public safety in some point of fashion, or maybe just interested in government and public service in some fashion. But they need a paycheck, part-time. So it is, in my opinion, it's a little beyond just the promise of a potential. There's certainly no guarantee of hours, right? Like, we got the work for it.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's a job. It's a really valuable job that provides a great service. And on top of that, they get to join the best organization in the entire city. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I got them. Okay.
Yeah, the sensor.
They get to join certainly the best city. Government, the best employees, there's a whole lot of stuff you guys can do exactly what you're doing today. I'm working with certainly two big kids, not really huge for this. I think there's, from just an employment perspective, you've got a lot to offer. And then from a perspective of just, there's folks out there that use part time, that just need a position. I think it's a great point. Flexibility of schedules.
College students.
Schedules. It's my hope that there's a lot on top of, if you're interested in public service, maybe this is a pathway to full time. Well, now I'm sold. Come on.
Chair Stuckey, I have a quick comment.
Yeah.
I would just like to note our CSO partners at the police department are cherished partners. They're valuable partners to our officers in the field, and they have a valuable role there. This adding two permanent positions, full-time positions, and 20 full-time part-time positions is gonna take an immense load off the men and women that go out into the field every single day, and it'll be a fantastic addition, I believe, to our agency. So having said that, I'd like to support the proposal and make the motion to approve the proposal.
I'd like to ask a question before we make the motion. That's fine. Is there a second?
So how are CSOs trained? So all of our personnel that may be going to the field and interact with the public get a certain amount of what we call field training. We actually have a supervisor in our department manages our entire field training. So for communities, so our police officers, they have a field training during their roles. Pairing them with an experienced officer for a set number of weeks generally. And once they pass all the certification requirements that are required, they're then sort of given the blessing to go out on their own. Community service officers are very similar. Now, they don't get as much training as a full-time officer because their duties and responsibilities are a little bit different, but they still get a lot of training. So the training process is very similar. You pair them with both experienced police officers for some of their training, like some basic stuff, and then with experienced community service officers for more specific training to a community service officer. The length of that training, I don't know off the top of my head the exact number of weeks. I said it's less than a police officer, but I will tell you that switching, hiring hourly CSOs, as you said, it's new. It's a novel concept. Personally, I'm a huge fan of the concept. What we do, when you think about an hourly person, that we can't necessarily put in training for 8 weeks, 40 hours a week on a set schedule, we have to be flexible. So our training sergeant is actually developing a training program designed for that.
If I can make a comment as well, in my 22 years working at the department, I've seen a great investment in the CSOs. A lot of them do become police officers. It's a training ground at a much slower pace for sworn, and they actually tend to be very great report writers, even sometimes better than sworn officers because they have more time, and it's more customer service oriented to the community. So they're very knowledgeable, they do investigations, they handle fraud. It's a great program, and I'm happy to see that it's finally growing.
Definitely better report writers.
Cheaper than officers.
Definitely better report writers.
I was just going to say, will that be overtime for officers with more CSO people? Or, I mean, do you see it that way?
I don't. So whether it has a direct impact on the amount of overtime officer work, I can't make that direct correlation. I can see theoretically how it might to some degree. Because if an officer doesn't, for example, in a 10-hour shift, if an officer has to write 2 police reports, that may take X number of hours. If they have to write 5 police reports, that's going to require more hours, right? So if you lessen the amount of hours on an officer, maybe that might result in it requires less overtime beyond that officer's normal shift to complete those reports. But that's not really, that's a correlation, but there's a lot more stuff that goes on. How many other calls from service? What's the efficiency of the officer themselves? What is the nature of the reports? How complex is the investigation? What else is happening in the field that night? Can they hold that report to a second day rather than spending overtime to complete the first day? So there's a lot of areas involved, so I can't make a direct correlation. Our goal in this presentation. Nothing in the report talks about trying to reduce overtime hours, although our officers do work a lot of overtime for the usual staff. Our real goal is to improve service to the community while reducing the workload of police officers and other personnel throughout the building, by the way, that where those responsibilities don't require that specific person. It doesn't require a specific police officer, it can be done by a different person who's working. That's a huge help. Reason that an officer or another employee do other capacity.
We've got a couple of other questions here in mind. First, is this an existing classification or does it need to be created?
No, community service officers is an existing classification.
How many hours?
Hourly, it's my executive having a charge here, but no, in any classification that we have for full time, we can also hire an hourly of the same class. So we don't have to create a separate civil service classification.
And in the spreadsheet on the budget, is the allocation for the hourly officers, does that reflect money or the 9.5 FTEs?
The allocation
is that like fiscal year 327,000 dollars.
It's one and the same. 20 part-time equals 9.52.
No, I understand, but is that number for 9.5 FTEs or is it for 20?
No, it's one and the same. 20 hourly equals 9.52 FTEs. It's based on what happens.
I guess, let me rephrase it. Is that 20 full-time people or is it 9.5 FTEs?
It's 9.5 FTEs.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then in the allocation for supplies and services, is that prorated to cover only those expenses related to Measure A funded?
Yes, staff? That's right.
Okay.
These figures are based on the Measure A positions only,
okay.
Including the currently proposed positions.
Okay.
You're asking for 20% part-time, but you're only asking for 3 vehicles. You're not putting 4 people in a car. Right? So, and I know this can be spread out. Are 3 vehicles or 2 full-time, 20 part-time, going to be enough to have the CSO do the job?
Yes, we believe that they would. I've actually had a direct conversation with Captain Overseas All Patrol Division, that came to these cars of assignment. He's in touch with actually our fleet manager. He's in touch actually with our fleet manager. He just appeared there, right? He's very snug. Our fleet manager manages all of the patrol fleet of cars and knows how frequently cars go out in the field, how often, how many cars are ever shared. In everybody's estimation, we should be enough. A lot of the reason why is because he said they worked different shifts. They're not all working at the same time.
Now, they didn't drive any old police cars, or do they have their own CSO cars?
That's right. They have their own specialized cars that are actually marked as community service officers, and they're not black and white.
Right, good. Cars.
Yeah, actually less expensive than these.
Okay, electric, or are they?
The current ones we have, I don't think they're hybrids. I think they're hybrids.
Do you know what they're
for? I don't think so. But the entire city, continues forward movement for the more ecological programs in the community. So we, in this police department a couple years ago, we installed, the city premise, installed a whole bunch of electric charging stations all over our parking garage, and we now have multiple hybrid vehicles. We're now just testing our first ever fully electric vehicle inside one of our supervisors as we start moving those vehicles. Currently, they're gas.
If I can make a comment, I would imagine they're deaf because a CSO can stay out in the field just like an officer. There's like a serious accident, and if the electricity, the energy runs out, I mean, unless it's a hybrid. Have you guys considered doing hybrids for patrol vehicles?
Yeah, it's actually in the plan. We think the eventual step to electric cars requires a lot of things. We have the infrastructure here, the technology, even today, continues to improve. So hybrids may be a good middle step. The vehicle that I'm assigned as a captain in the organization is not a hybrid, but we have several of our cars that are. And as we slowly say hybrid, hybrid, like I mentioned earlier. One of the big challenges with electric for shared crew movement is that if you have one officer or one CSO coming off duty because we're driving that car for 4 hours, 5 hours, 50 miles, whatever, if it's a chargeable vehicle, somebody else can't immediately take that car back to the field. That's a charge for the hours, and that's a problem. That would be more of a legal federal problem. Yeah.
And the volunteers, that's what we all have, is electric vehicles. So we're plugged in over there.
You guys are leading charge.
Well, we only work so many hours, and then we're all right. You know, so.
Yeah. If there's a natural disaster, they're not going to call you to go out and work on traffic intersection for 8 hours or something with the car. So yeah, but at least cars, I don't see them being electric in the next
Or always a way, but we are building the infrastructure and we're planning to have, we just had a recently potential way that we can schedule our car deployments to allow for charging power in that way. So we're figuring, we hope to be figuring that out. But it's got to be really
Thank you.
Any further discussion, questions, comments? We have a motion by Mr. Lucy and second by Mr. Roberts. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you, gentlemen. See ya. Agenda item and presentation. I don't know if anybody has one name. So, unless someone has it, it's not on it. All right. Other business? Staff comments. Any comments from staff? Always sitting in the back.
Yeah.
Nothing. That's at least where I'd be for everybody to be.
I have a quick comment. I just wanted to acknowledge and commend Chair Stuckey for his presentation at the council on Tuesday. So he did an excellent job presenting the FY21 annual report. So I just wanted to commend you on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, having followed David Albright, you would have worked. Well, you can never have enough tickets. My comments, well, I was going to mention that I made a presentation to council the other day, so I'm apt to now thank you, Don. I just want to thank everyone here for their thoughtful discussion on the single proposal, and we're going to get out of here in less than an hour.
Yeah, we are.
Any other comments from the members?
That's a good question. You have a new partner here.
You know what? I'm very, very sorry. I should have made a comment. Thank you for prompting me. So, yes, this far, we're always growing. There's lots of things going on. One of our captains recently, well, actually, so since the last time that we met, a lot of change. We had two captains retired. So we have since promoted Captain Miriam Fox, formerly lieutenant, or special strategic operations. Thank you. So you know our incredible world around the Wilderness First Responder Program. This was lieutenant.
That's your boss.
So Captain Fox was promoted along with two other captains, because that we also created a measure of approval captain. That's two people that are present. One is Captain Dan Keith, made on the 5th day, and one is now Captain Henry Barton. Captain Keith was formerly our detective lieutenant and part of our detective division for many, many years. And then Henry Martin was formerly our community police lieutenant. The way most people knew Lieutenant Martin was homeless outreach coordinator. And so, Captain Fox, did you want to say?
Just happy to be here, learning, and thank you for all that you do. Measure A is really important. I didn't miss it, so I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other comments? Seeing none. Adjourned. Have a nice meeting in January.
Thank you.
Open up the fire department.